One in three, Nearer My God to Thee, number 528. Yes, Pat. Verses 1 and 2 of 314 in the garden. Verses 1 and 2, 314. Time for at least one more. I heard 527. 1 and 3. 527. 1 and 3. Do Lord remember me. And then the verse 3, for those of you looking in your hymnal, is down below. 1 and 3. 527. Verse 3. When I'm in trouble, do Lord remember me. When I'm in There must be another version of that one I got used to singing as a kid, right? But thank you, Diane. We made it through. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for Hymn Sing. We'll now continue with our worship service.
Thank you, Diane. Good morning. Welcome to the Yucaipa Methodist Church House of Faith. It's good to have you here this morning worshiping with us, both in the sanctuary and on Zoom. Let's start with our announcements. Which are so far welcome, we're glad you're here. You can sign in on the red pad at the end of your pew so that we know that you're here. We're still glad you're here. Welcome. I was going to guess. I bet there's a birthday one. We could do that. So happy birthday to those that are in May. So April, Everett, William, Gary, and Susan. So if you see them, say happy birthday, especially if you know when their birthday is. The May newsletter is available in the Northex. It also could be emailed to you. There's also, if you want to contact the office, they can mail you a copy. The Good Samaritan Fund is the Stater Brothers script that you can buy in the fellowship hall. The money is used to help those less fortunate with food. So you're going to shop at Stater's anyway. This way the church gets 6% of whatever it is that you spend, and we use it for our Good Samaritan Fund. The cereal church. Someone's trying to eat our cereal that we brought in this morning. They said, oh, you're serving breakfast. So you can bring cereal any time that you want on a Sunday morning and put it back on the pew there, and it will be taken to the location where it goes. Signing up for the pastor's lunch next Wednesday, or Wednesday, the May 17th at 12 noon at Legend 8 China Restaurant. There's a lot of numbers in that sentence. In Cala Mesa, the cost is $15. If you need transportation, you can contact Pastor Phillips or Lauren in the church office, but you do need to sign up, and you can sign up in the fellowship hall on a clipboard, or you can call the church office. Hearts Grow, second and fourth Sundays. Children can come before the sermon and stay to the end of fellowship time. It's held in the children's church room. The Chosen is being shown episodes every Sunday after church, after fellowship time. And so it's a series on a fresh take of Jesus and his disciples. And so there's a new episode every Sunday. Oh, and today they have soup. If you feed them, they will come. Those all the announcements. Are there any other announcements? All right, if you will call or stand as you are able for the call to worship. Our call to worship this morning is from Matthew 28, 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Therefore,
go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit,
and
them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Please join us in singing hymn 156, I Love to Tell the Story, verses 1-3.
Story will be my theme in glory.
you're still standing, let us pass the peace to one another. You can turn and wave. You can wander around.
We also like to welcome all those who have come via Zoom. I see Edna and June and Joyce and Mary, Alicia, and we have a new gentleman named by Bobby Alexander. Helen, welcome, all the way from Chico. I was wondering about that at the beginning of the worship. That's great.
And now our time for joys and concerns, if you'd like to share. Since Dale is back on video, I will tell you about our neighbors and our friends. They have finally been able to do a CAT scan on who was, we thought he had something wrong with his spine. Turns out his prostate cancer has metastasized. So they are starting another round of chemo for him, but he's in a lot of pain and would love to have our prayers and thoughts. They are believers, they're wonderful people, and so we're just trying to keep them calm and comfortable with our prayers. Thank you.
I have a joy too that we had a really great turnout at the movie yesterday and it was a lot of fun. So if you haven't been to a movie lately, the next one in June, I think it's June 3rd, is gonna be The Jesus Revolution, which is a true story about a resurgence of faith back in the hippie age, where I was there, so good story.
My joy is that my grandson Albert graduated from boot camp Army 2 weeks ago, and he was supposed to either go to Germany, Hawaii, or Alaska, and I talked to him on Friday, and he goes, Grandma, guess what? He goes, I'm staying in Georgia.
It's a lot cheaper than Hawaii.
And I would have recommended Alaska.
My friend Margaret from Missouri finally got here, and we're enjoying our time together. She grew up in Yucaipa, so we're making the rounds to friends and family. So I'm really happy that she came with me today.
I had a 6-day trip to Minnesota last Thursday to Tuesday. I had an uncle, Pete Moline. My last name is Moline. It was my dad's brother, the last of my uncles. He was 2 weeks short of 95 years old. He passed away on the farm he was born in, my father was born in, about 60 miles north of Minneapolis, St. Paul. The funeral was at a Swedish Lutheran church, Fish Lake. Even the verses on the wall were in Swedish. A lot of Swedes in that area. But he had a good life. He was an engineer, graduated from the University of Minnesota with three other engineers. They started a company called Rosemont Engineering, and they built that company to 1,600 employees, perfecting instrumentation for aircraft. And my uncle's specialty was PDO tubes, true airspeed. The first 48 inches of the SR-71 Mach 3.2 spy plane, my uncle's company, and he put that together.
That's a great testament to a life. Yeah.
Sounds like Swedish smart.
Hi, good morning. My name is Phoebe, and I live in Cherry Valley. So I'm just visiting.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you,
Phoebe.
Welcome. We don't want to embarrass you, but we want to know how to say hello.
Continue prayers for Peggy and Jerry Avon. I just heard, I'm sorry about that late notice on me, in a way. But they just lost their oldest son out of the pancreatic cancer. So pray for the comfort and peace for them. But one thing good out of it is that it came so sudden, and he passed almost within a week's notice. So the pain was really short. So thanks be to God for that. But prayers for the family.
Is there anyone on Zoom? Please raise your hand. Okay, unmute Edna.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
We would like to ask a prayer for my sister-in-law, Dee, in Missouri. She is in a very critical condition right now, and she's being flown by helicopter to another hospital who specializes in this kind of surgery. She's bleeding massively internally, and it's a very complicated area that it needed a special team to do it. So she will have her surgery today, and Austin just texted me that she's being flown to another hospital right now. So we would appreciate the prayers. Thank you.
Thanks, Edna. Anyone else?
Looks like June.
June, go ahead and unmute yourself, June.
She did.
I am unmuted. Can you?
No,
we can hear you. Now you're muted.
Put it back again. Click on it one more time.
Can you try and unmute again? June, you are muted. Now, there we go.
Oh, no. Okay.
Okay. Did you hear me before?
I can hear you now.
Okay. We can hear the lectern mic and the piano mic. We can't hear the pastor's mic this morning for some reason. It seems to change each Sunday. But we would like to request prayer for both of our sons who need to be closer to the Lord.
Okay, are there names?
Lloyd and John.
Lloyd and John. And Mick has also requested prayer for his son Daniel for similar reasons, so all of them. Anyone else on Zoom?
Austin, would you want to share about the situation with your sister, please?
Austin, you'll have to unmute if you want to share.
Hi. Yeah, this is Austin. I'm here in Missouri. I'm sorry, I just now was able to log on. But my sister is now on her way to the Barnes Hospital in St. Louis. She had she's got a tumor that's on her, attached to her stomach and colon that is bleeding, a lot of blood. And so she's been having several units of blood. And they said they're going to have to do a surgery, and the only place able to do that is up at the Barnes Hospital in St. Louis. And so my brother is on his driving there right now, and she's going by helicopter. She might already be there because she left probably about an hour and a half ago. That's about how long it takes to get there. And so they said it'll either be tonight or tomorrow morning, the surgery. So I just wanted to let everybody know about that, that she's in serious condition. It's a very serious thing going on right now with her.
Can you give us her name again?
It's Dee Barrett.
Dee
Barrett. It's my brother's wife.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
As we continue into our time of prayer, please join me in the unison prayer. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering all the prayer requests that has come before us. And ask God to reach out unto each and every one of them and touch their lives and heal them. Lord Jesus Christ, when life hits us hard unexpectedly, we sometimes do not see anywhere to turn. We sometimes cannot see you. We cannot feel your presence. We sometimes doubt about if you are there. But, O Lord, you have never failed to show us your love, to empower us, to encourage us, strengthen us, that we may not give up on the way, but receive courage and strength from your presence and through your Holy Spirit to continue on and to fight on. A lot of times, O Lord, it only takes time, and we just need to wait patiently for all that troubling things to pass. But in a lot of cases, as you have done it over and over, O Lord, we can engage in this life battle by the faith that we have found in you, that you are there working on our behalf, removing barriers and obstacles from our path, giving us the hope for the future, and we see you, O Lord, that you are deeply involved in our life's affairs. So as we look back for all that you have done, and as we see what you are doing in our life, we thank you. We once more, by faith, acknowledge your presence in our lives, and we thank you for your never-failing presence and never-failing love for us. And because you are in our life, O Lord, we find meaning in this life. We find the reason to continue on. We find joy to celebrate in spite of all the troubles that's around us. So we have come, O Lord, because we know who you are. We know we are in need of you always. And we want to recognize the blessings that we have received from you together with your people. So we open our hearts and open our lives unto your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit may come in and touch us, empower us, and heal us. So here we are, Lord, presenting ourselves as we are. We need you today. We need hope and encouragement and empowerment from you. We ask you to come in and touch us one more time, empower us one more time, and heal us, heal our brokenness. Recognizing your power, your presence in our life, O Lord, we come together unto you in prayer and ask you to continue to use us, continue to fulfill your good and perfect will upon our lives, upon the life of our loved ones, upon this church, upon this nation and the world today. So now we join our hearts in prayer, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in singing our hymn, Pass It On, number 572, verses 1 to 3.
It only takes a spark to go in, and soon all those around can warm in his glory. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you just spread his love to everyone. You want to pass it on. What a wondrous time is spring, when all the trees are budding, the birds begin to sing, the flowers start their blooming. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to sing. It's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. And depend on him, it matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountain top. I want my world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on.
believe I've ever sung that song. What a lovely song. We will have to do that more often. This morning's scripture is from the Pentateuch, the Numbers 23:13-26, Balaam's second oracle. So Balak said to him, "Come with me to another place from which you may see them. You shall see only part of them and shall not see them all. Then curse them for me from there." So he took him to the field of Zophron, to the top of Pisgah. He built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, "Stand here beside your burnt offerings while I meet the Lord over there." The Lord met Balaam, put a word into his mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and this is what you shall say." When he came to him, he was standing beside his burnt offerings with the officials of Moab. Balak said to him, "What has the Lord said?" Then Balaam uttered his oracle, saying, "Rise, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a human that he should lie, or a mortal that he should change his mind. Has he promised, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? See, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them, acclaimed as a king among them. God who brings them out of Egypt is like the horns of a wild ox for them. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel. Now it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, see what God has done. Look, a people rising up like a lioness and rousing itself like a lion. It does not lie down until it has eaten the prey and drunk the blood of the slain." Then Balak said to Balaam, "Do not curse them at all, and do not bless them at all." But Balaam answered Balak and said, "Did I not speak to you, saying, whatever the Lord says, that is what I must do?" The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. Would you put the screen in there so that I can recognize those who have come to worship? It is so exciting to have Helen joining us via Zoom. She used to call on phone line, and she is now able to come to us via Zoom. And I also see Carol and Mike on Zoom as well. Anyway, I welcome all of you here in the beautiful sanctuary. I mean, don't you love this sanctuary? You know, whenever you come, you just feel so homey in here, and sanctuary is so beautiful. And I am so happy to see all of you who have come via Zoom. And I pray that your worshiping with us will be rewarded with a blessing from the Holy Spirit, that we may receive the assurance of His presence working in our lives, and that we may hear the message that God has prepared for all of us this morning. A countryman in rural Texas prepared to attend the church nearby on Sunday. He did not want people to think of him as unsophisticated, so he trims himself very clean, wore nice-looking clothes, and arrived at the church on time for worship. But when he entered, he saw that he and the preacher were the only ones present. The preacher asked the first-time visitor if he wanted him to go ahead and preach. "Well," said the countryman, "I am not too smart, but if I went to feed my cattle and only one showed up, I still feed him."
The minister was excited to have a new visitor and began his sermon with gusto. An hour passed, then 2 hours, then 2.5 hours. Being the only one in the almost empty sanctuary, the countryman did not dare to leave in the middle of his sermon. Finally, the preacher finished and asked the inspired visitor by that time whether he had enjoyed his sermon. "Well," said the man, "I am not too smart, but if I went to feed my cattle and only one showed up, I sure wouldn't feed him all the hay." I might try that this morning. Sunday morning is one of many methods God speaks to us. What other communication means God uses? God speaks through nature, events, people in the circle of life. Sometimes God speaks through someone we only meet once. God often shows us a sign. Very frequently, God speaks to me during my daily meditation and prayer and hymns that I play on the piano. And I was doing that. I usually don't play that before the worship this morning. And I played this morning and it just was open to the hymn that I did not think that it existed, the one that I usually use. And God gave me the message. So hallelujah for that. Now, the two most authentic and prevailing ways of God's communication are the written word of God and his messengers. God's messengers during the Old Testament times were usually prophets. We may think that the prophets of God were only Hebrews, but there were some exceptions of other ethnic origin. Who were the Gentile prophets? Not many would put Job in the category of prophets, but he was. So were his four friends. And Job was not a Hebrew, but a Gentile. The book of Job said Job was from Uz. According to Lamentation 4:21, the land of Uz was a territory that belonged to Ammonites. Who were the Ammonites? Edom means red and was the nickname given to Esau, you know, Jacob's brother. When Esau was born, he was red all over and was given the name, that nickname. Esau's twin brother, Jacob, was chosen to carry the blood lineage of Hebrews and the Messiah. Esau's descendant became Gentiles, often hostile to Hebrews. There was one more Gentile prophet in the Old Testament. The prophet Balaam was from Pethor, near the Euphrates River, which runs through modern-day Turkey, Syria, and Iraq onto the Persian Gulf. Balaam could have come from any of those regions. Balaam's story goes like this. Israel had already defeated Amorites and was approaching the land of Moab. Balak, the king of Moab, became alarmed by Israel. About a couple of millions of people always moved in a group, and the gigantic size could have been a threat to the people in Moab. Their defeat of Amorites meant the demise of Moab, so Balak sent for Balaam to curse Israel for a fee. God told Balaam not to go and put a curse on Israel. So Balaam told the elders of Moab what God said to him. On the second round, Balak sent higher rank officials and promised a bigger reward. Balaam told the delegates from Balak the same message as the first one, but told them to wait so that he could find out if God had anything else to say. Did Balaam think God might have had something new to say? Probably not. The word of Balaam to Balak we read this morning reveals many of God's characteristics. God does not lie. Blessings and curses belong to God. God does not change his mind and fulfills his promise. This means Balaam already knew the integrity of God. God was not going to change his blessing upon Israel into a curse. But why did Balaam tell the delegates that he was going to find out if God had changed his mind? Why? Because Balaam was tempted by reward for divinations. This, to me, a very, very important point, and especially to me as a preacher. This is the same kind of temptation that prophets, prophetesses, and messengers of God face. The primary duty and function of messengers is the delivery of messages as accurately as they were given. Messengers cannot and should not alter the message. Let's take an example of Amazon service, which many of you are familiar with. When we order a product from Amazon, we expect the delivery of an identical product as shown on their web. If they do not deliver the same product, their business will not succeed. Good prophets do not fail to deliver the message they are commissioned, or don't change it according to their personal preference. If they do, they are false prophets. They are prophets for profit, for making money. God read Balaam's mind and allowed him to go with a second delegation, but still assured him to speak what God told him only. Balaam rode his donkey on his way to Balak. God was very upset with Balaam and sent his angel to block him in the middle of the road. The donkey saw the angel with a drawn sword in his hand and turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat the poor animal to get back on the road. Then the angel stood in a narrow path through the vineyard with walls on both sides. Out of fear, the donkey pressed close to the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against it. Balaam beat the donkey again. Then the angel stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, and the donkey lay down. Balaam beat it with his staff this time. God enabled the donkey to talk, and the donkey said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me three times?" Then finally, God opened Balaam's eyes, and Balaam saw the angel standing in the road with his sword drawn. Balaam repented his wrong behavior. As he met Balak, Balaam told Balak that he was mandated to speak only God's messages and bless Israel three different times. And Balak noticed that Balaam's voice was going to change. So he finally said, "Do not curse or do not bless." But Balaam blessed Israel anyhow. I'd like us to look at this specific timing of this event in conjunction with God's call for Balaam, a Gentile prophet. God liberated Israel from Egypt. God protected Israel from the threat of Gentiles for 40 years in the desert. As God's chosen, Israel went through refining time in the desert and was ready to go into the promised land. God had always been on the side of Israel and demonstrated to be their God over and over. Not the God of Gentiles. But during this particular time, God called the Gentile prophet and revealed to him God's attributes and the divine ways of operation. God taught Balaam the foremost quality of a prophet, only to speak God what God wanted and not to be manipulated by any human bias. What does this story speak to us? You know, I mean, we don't usually think that there were Gentile prophets. There were several of them in the Old Testament. And, you know, who, like Balaam, was told what the duty of prophet would be, right? At a time when God appeared to be the God of Israel only, the message to me, God embraces all humanity, and wants his message is to be delivered to all humanity, not altered by any human bias. And put that together with the Great Commission. How God worked through Balaam reflects the Great Commission of the risen Christ. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. There are two elements in here that we can notice that we have learned from Balaam's story. Go and make disciples of all nations, all inclusive in there, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Do not change the gospel, but just teach them the way that I taught you. After Jesus ascended to heaven, and the church was born, did the disciples go into all nations to preach the gospel as Jesus commissioned them? Not at the beginning. The disciples were hesitant to go to Gentile. It was Paul who spearheaded breaking the racial barrier and took the gospel to the Gentile, centered around Jewish communities in Turkey, Greece, and Italy. Without racial and national barriers, the gospel could spread like a wildfire in the entire Roman Empire, then unto Europe. And there's another example of that today. The Great Commission was right behind the rapid growth of the Korean churches as well. Even though the history of Protestant churches in most part and Catholic churches is, the Protestant church is about 150 years old and the Catholic is a little longer. And let me introduce you a couple of prominent American missionaries in Korea. And as you may have heard, American missionaries were the ones that transformed that small country in most part. Horace Underwood was a Presbyterian missionary. While in seminary, Underwood heard of Chosun. It sounds like, I mean, spelled like a chosen, but Chosun, a tiny country in the Far East for the first time. Chosun was Korea's old name. Chosun with 13 million people do not know what the gospel is. The country is impoverished, and people suffer from disease and injustice. The country has just its open doors to foreign nations. The Lord is calling you to go to this country. Underwood went and established a church in Seoul and worked on education, medicine, and welfare. He's the founder of the Yonsei University, which is the nationally prominent university today. Haile Apandela was the first Methodist missionary in Korea. As he arrived in Incheon, Korea, with Underwood on Easter morning, isn't the timing interesting? On Easter morning of 1885, he prayed, "May the power of the risen Christ Jesus shine the light to save the people." He built churches and schools for the next 10 years. His life was cut short in an attempt to save a girl during a storm. Apenzela's son Henry and his daughter Rebecca followed their father's legacy and served in Korea as missionaries. There have been tens of thousands of foreign missionaries, if not hundreds of thousands, who obeyed the Great Commission and gave their all for Koreans, the heathens. At a cemetery in Yanghwajin, Korea, dedicated to those missionaries, is a grave for Miss Kendrick. She was only 24 years old when she died. Her epitaph says, this epitaph is kind of emotional to me. "If I'm given life 1,000 times, I will still give them all for Korea." Now think about where we are today, here in the United States. They say that Sunday morning is the most racially divided time in the U.S. Sadly, the churches in here have a long history of racial segregation. Still yet, God's love is the ultimate solution to racial divide and conflict. The gospel of Jesus appeals to the human spirituality instead of skin colors. The world needs a spiritual awakening by which every tongue confesses Jesus as Lord and brings all human races together. May the Lord bring another great revival sweeping through this nation and the world. Amen. Now let us come to the table of God's mercy at this time. And if you would, you can join with me in the response reading found in page 13 of our hymnal. The Lord is with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, And on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, let us come to the table of God's mercy and remember the broken body of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. As we drink from one cup that Christ poured his blood into for the forgiveness of our sins, let us remember his unconditional love and accept the grace that comes from his table. So now let us take the body and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And now is the time for our tithes and offerings. You can place it in the offering and plate in the back of the sanctuary, or you can send it into the church office. And now we invite David Brown to sing "There Is a Balm in Gilead."
The wound. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord Jesus Christ, as we stand before your presence, we remember all your sacrifices, all your love poured out unto each and every one of us. So we give you this praise, we give you this thanksgiving, and ask you to receive it, that it may be used to glorify your name and extend your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join us in singing the communion hymn, Rescue the Perishing, 591, verses 1 to 3.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep of the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are smiting him, still he is waiting, waiting to penitent child to receive. Plead with them honestly, plead with them gently, he will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings like worry that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cause that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Let us pray. Lord, you have given each of us the great commission that we may share the love that we have received from you with those whom that you place in our life, with those whom we meet on our path. So empower us, O Lord, that we may become your disciples to preach the gospel and share the love of Christ so that people may know through us that you are their Savior, that you are their Lord. May this church be mindful of this great commission, that we may continue to do the job that we are commissioned to do, that we may continue to build this church up for your glory. And we ask you to send your disciples, your workers, co-workers, so that we can build this church together. We need your blessing, O Lord, upon this church, that we may be the church that you want us to be as your disciples in this world today. With this message of the Great Commission, O Lord, we ask you to send back to this world and send us in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Watching from above.